I got reminded about this at the group meeting of the evening afterwards. Clint came over and sat by me, and he was talking to me, and he said something that when he did, it clicked somewhere back there in one of those file cabinets way back there in the back of the brain, experiences that you have, and you just kind of put it away, and then all of a sudden something says something or you see something, bingo, you know, it brings it back to memory all of a sudden. And Clint did, and I shared it with him. and it goes with what we're doing. But a bunch of years ago, I was sitting in a class, and we go into these classes we have to do, and I'm always looking for a different class. I don't want to do these repeaters type thing. And there's this class, 10 to 12, and we had an hour and a half break, and then we go back in the afternoon for 2 hours. There's a two-part thing. We went in, never heard this speaker, don't remember his name now, but we went in, sat in class, everybody getting seated. He comes in, and he puts up on the big screen the lyrics to America the Beautiful. We thought, well, this is a little different. You know, everybody's kind of looking at each other, you know, what kind of class this is going to be? And he introduces himself and says, first thing we're going to do, we're going to all sing this song. I think you all should know it. If you don't know it, shame on you. I didn't put the actual music with it too, but we got the lyrics just in case you get a little mixed up on them. And he just started off, you know, like this, and everybody started singing. And we sang it. And then he said, you know, that wasn't too bad. But I think y'all could do better. And he started us again. And we sang again, and we were, you know, a little louder situation. And then we stopped. He looked at us, and he's shaking his head, yeah. But now I want each and every one of you to sing it again, but put your soul into it. I want you to put your soul into singing the song as if you mean it. You got to mean it. Put your soul into it. So we sang again, and I think from the first time, we probably was 100% better, if not more. But anyhow, and we sang it. And then when we got through, he said, okay, you put your soul into it. Then he looked at us and he said, doctors, we started this off because we're going to talk about the next 4 hours, if you hang with me, we're going to talk about that every time you walk into a room with a patient, that you put your soul into that patient trying to figure out what has happened and what can be done to help them. That's what we're going to be talking about in this class. But it's all about putting your soul into it. And if you put your soul into it, your patient will see that, and they're going to believe in you. And they're going to do what you ask them to do as far as any therapies and so forth. And great class, a lot of things. But what he's talking about is the same thing with us and church. Okay? Same thing with us as with church as far as putting our soul into our worship and our study of learning more of God's will each time we're here. And then also when we go out. And the guy hit it on the head on those type of things. And like I said, it's been back there in memory, and when Clint said something, it just sparked it again. And I thought I'd share that. That's being very zealous is what that is, okay? And that's why what we've been talking about going through this class, to be a very zealous Christian, to do the best we can, putting our soul into everything on that. So now, side note, I remember when we came back that afternoon, he told us that the hotel staff that was down, a good ways down at the front, commended and talked about us singing. It was the redemption. You know, they heard it all and it was complimenting. But the so that's what we got to always think about every time we come to class and to a service. It's putting our soul into our worship. Okay, I'll just start off with that today. And with that, I'm going to ask Chester if he'll lead us in prayer today. Amen. Has everyone had a halfway decent first part of the week? Good, good. We've been going through and we kind of finished up a little bit last week talking about rising above our interpretations on conflict resolutions and about problems that we have when a family falls apart, a church falls apart, or whatever, even teams fall apart. I'm sure Kirk has seen teams fall apart. It's always, usually it's always from within. Within creates problems. If you have somebody in the group that's not putting forth their soul, working as hard as they can to do what's right, it's going to lead to problems sooner or later. And with that, problems from without, rumors, distractions, gossip can be very discouraging to those who are zealous for good deeds. Nehemiah, he handled these outside attacks because he told his enemies, "I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?" That's over in Nehemiah 6 and 3. So that was Nehemiah's thought. You know, I can't do it because I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. Now, I'm going to assume by that can't come down, he's probably up on the wall. And they're down lower, and they want him to come down and talk to them. When you are zealous spreading the gospel, building a godly family, loving your neighbors, you are doing a great work, and you cannot come down. And I mean by coming down, you cannot stop doing that. You got to keep it up, keep going. You can't give up your time and your energy to those who are against you. Instead, press forward. Pause only briefly to establish that you see the cruel attack, and by God's strength, you will not be stopped. Verses 8 and 9. And that's really hard to do. When people get criticized, get attacked, it does what? What does it do to you? It's discouraging, disheartening. What else? It destroys your joy. That's correct. What else? There's a lot of things there. What else? Take away your confidence. That's right. You start doubting yourself. Well, maybe I was wrong. When you know you're right. Anything else? How about weighing heavy on your mind? It becomes a major distraction. You tend to think about it way more than what you need to. Okay? And most for a lot of people, it disturbs their sleep. It can get that bad, possibly. Okay, a lot of different factors there, so we have to be so careful when that type of situation happens, not to let it just take us over, because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants it to take us over, and by taking us over, that just throws us down the gutter with the devil, is what it does. We have to be so careful about that. How can you counterbalance that when that does happen? Anybody got an answer? What? Study. Very definitely. Open the Bible. Read. Study. What else? Starts with a P. Pray. The Lord is there. We've talked about this before in past lessons. The Lord's there. He's waiting to take your hand and listen to you. Does he already know? Yes, he knows. But he wants us, just like in repentance, he wants us to come to him and ask for repentance when we sin and fall. But when we are troubled, he wants us to come to him in prayer and ask him and be specific. Okay? So, but as humans, we tend to do what? Worry. Bingo. And when you start worrying, you do what? Whew! You drop down again. Okay? I'm not being critical. We all fall into that. That's why I said at different times. We can be on a high, then just one little thing can upset us, and we start dropping down to the valley. Okay? And we have to be so careful of that and stay on top of it all the time. Rebuilding the wall, 52 days. It was an incredible accomplishment. But this is not where Nehemiah's zeal stopped. The final element he addressed was the people. Now, in chapters 7 through 13, Nehemiah has a lot of stuff in there. But he partnered with Ezra to help the people reconnect with God and one another. Because remember, you had people that was in captivity that came back to help build the wall, but you had those that they did not take in captivity that lived in the area around, and they're going to be there helping too. Okay? That got left. Because usually when they came in and did the captivities, they tried to take the most educated, the best. If they leave those that are not educated back behind, they don't worry about them, is what happens. So you have all you have the combo here. So, but it was still quite a, I mean, it's just unbelievable to think about it. But he had got Ezra to help the people reconnect with God and with one another. Together now, they drew the people into activities that united them as God's people, sanctified to dwell within God's city. Okay? Now, these can include celebrating victories, joyfully worshiping when projects were completed and prayers were answered. When you read that long section in Nehemiah, it has some of those. When they got some of the gates done, you know, they were happy they got the gates done and everything. So when they got a project, one part of the wall done, they celebrated it. Group study, reading and meditating on the scriptures with others. Family leadership, urging the head of each household to fulfill his duty. And then personal accountability, repenting of sin and restoring their financial offerings. So this was ways that the Ezra, he got Ezra with him, and they were trying to teach the people to get back into this. So they were doing different groups and studying the law type situation, meditating on scriptures. And they got back up with the families, the ones that actually have families there, for the men to step up and fulfill their duties. Side note, rabbit trail real quick. All that is great, but a lot of countries, especially your Muslim-based countries, have went really overboard with the men being the head of the family, because they have put such terrible restrictions on the women. I mean, it's just horrible what they do in so many of those countries. And you think women here in America would stand for any of that? No, but over there, every time they try, they have no problem, you know, killing them. You know, stoning them still. And it's sad, so sad that we still have a world that is like that out there. I mean, it's very, very sad. So just a side note on some of that. By spiritually enriching the lives of those you interact with, your greatest success becomes even better. Take home point this evening. Good choices will dramatically increase your influence. You should choose, and this is what we've talked about, commitment, communication, cooperation, conflict resolution, and community. We've got to keep all those in mind, and they all kind of have to work in a balance. You can't just overpower the four of them by you doing one other one. So they all kind of work in a that type of way. Anger can often make a bad situation even worse. Everybody in agreement with that? Okay. To make the right move, Nehemiah said, this is in 5, 6, and 7, Nehemiah, I consulted with myself. Now, how many of you ever consulted with yourself? You know what I'm talking about? You go outside and sit on the back porch in a swing and talk to yourself, or maybe even talk out loud. Talk out loud loud enough and your spouse hears you, he'll get the message, or she'll get the message, one of the. But I think we all at times consult with ourselves, okay? Because sometimes when you sit and consult with yourself, you can work it out, okay? Just by talking to yourself. I don't know how many times in my last 4 decades or whatever it is that I have just listened to patients talk. Didn't say a word. I went through working with them, treating them, and they just talked, just rattled, da 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 da, and I'm listening. And then I get them up, and they'll tell me, "Man, that's the best treatment you ever did." That has happened so many times. What did that person just do? They consulted with themselves. They thought they were consulting with me, and I never responded back. They were consulting with themselves, okay? They talked it out, and then they realized what the answer was when they did that. That's something we probably all need to do a little bit more, okay, instead of having anger. You got to keep your anger constructive. You can't let it get out of control. Get out of control, what happens? bad from worse. I'm already looking for the word you're probably going to sin. You're going to say something you should never have said. You're going to do something you shouldn't have done. And you're going to all of a sudden have to go to the Lord in prayer. Okay? So we have to really watch on that anger side of things, that's for sure. Big problems are solved in a series of smaller steps. Okay? Just like the wall. When they started building the wall, they did it sections at a time. They did steps at a time. They had to have the gate, so different ones would say, okay, we're going to work on fixing this gate. We're going to fix this gate. We're going to work on this section of the wall. They were doing all that in steps, okay? And by doing it in steps like that, all of a sudden, 52 days later, they were complete. And also by doing it in steps, you don't get overwhelmed all at one time. So what are the first five things you need to do to get started in changing your corner of the world? Got them? Anybody know them? Ma'am? Motivation. I'm looking for, we're going to go over the sheet, your answer sheet. How many of you got your answer sheets? There you go. Yes, that's the answer sheet. That's commitment. When you commit, you determine to make a difference. What's another one? Need to change, attitude, all those things are there. Speak, you got to communicate, okay? You got to communicate with whoever is around with you that needs to be changed. You got to have communication. Speak with clarity. How many times have we heard a politician get up and talk, and when they get through, you realize they didn't say anything? I mean, they are masters of talking and talking and really not tell you any meat, okay? So when I say speak with clarity, it's so that people understand you, what you're talking about. You got to have cooperation. So the only way you can have cooperation is to do what? Involve the right people to help get the job done. Whatever it is. What else? Stay focused. To stay focused, you're going to have conflict resolutions, and you're going to resolve any conflict so you can stay focused. You're going to rise above all the interruptions. And you got to address the project and the people, and this is involving everybody, the community. So the choices made by Nehemiah as he led the Jews in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem were the ones we just went through and started studying, or just finished studying. Acts 17:6, Paul and Silas are described as men who did what? Turn the world upside down, is that what the scripture says there? Every white Christian will impact the world in some manner. Zealous. Now, all of you should remember that because I use the example of Charles. Even Charles is having an impact on people already at his young age by his personality, that smile he has, and so forth. But each and every one of us we have an impact on others and on the world. And I say the world because when we walk out of here, we're going to be around people that are worldly people, don't care about God, never go to church. But by the way you talk and act, you're still going to have an influence on them. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Oh, that's right. Right. I agree. And that could be, you know, we can play with that order there a little bit. But you are correct. You got to have the right people. In Nehemiah 7 through 13, Nehemiah and Ezra drew the people into activities that united them as God's people, sanctified to dwell within God's city. And these included what? We just went over them. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And all those are big things, but as a group, okay, we need to always kind of keep those things in mind. And as elders, we try to keep those things in mind, okay? That's the reason why we tell, I think everybody knows here, you got a question, come to us. It's not like going to sitting in the principal's office, which I think everybody feels like it still is, but it's not, okay? Even though we got Chester with us now, I haven't seen Chester bite it, either Ed or I yet, okay? So what I'm getting at is we don't bite you. We're here to help. We are all in this together to get to heaven. You know, that's our overall accomplishment, is to get to heaven and help each other get there, okay? Because if we miss heaven, what? Yep, we missed it all, okay? We're here on this earth, ever how many years has granted us, a very, 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 very tiny short time compared to eternity that we are going to have with the living God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, we get all wrapped up in our day-to-day stuff and week by week and all those type of things. And then you start getting some years on you and you look back and say, whoa, where did the time go? Because God gave us a mind, okay, and a memory that collects all that stuff. So because of those memories, you think back of something that was 20, 30 years ago, and it seemed like it was just yesterday all of a sudden. And sometimes you can really remember details and so forth about certain things. There's other things you won't really don't remember because it wasn't, you know, really that significant, you know, to you. But because of that memory, when we die and go to heaven, what's going with us? There's two things that we're told. Number one, we are going to recognize each other in heaven. We're not going to have this body, whatever form it's going to be, maybe like a hologram. I don't know. We don't know those things. But we do know we're going to recognize each other. We're not going to be taken in marriage. We're not going to be, mad at each other, all those type of things. We're there because we have lived our life right before God, and we got to enter heaven, okay? But what's the other thing we're going to have? We're going to have those memories still. Those memories, they're logged in there. That's part of our soul. You know, our memories are part of our soul, okay? We're not going to go there with a blank mind. We're going to go there knowing how to sing songs, okay? All those type of things. So our all these memories we've created, we're going to take them with us. But I seriously doubt if all those bad memories are going to be left in there. Okay? Think about that, because there's going to be no more pain, nor more sorrow. Okay? That is something that's so wonderful, we cannot really imagine it. Yes, ma'am. We have to have some type of memory, because how we're going to sing songs and praises to God and so forth. We're going to have something. See, that's what I'm basing that on. So we got to have something there, okay? So I'm not trying to teach anything foreign or different. But by the scripture, you know, there has to be some type of recognition. You have to have memory some type of way still. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but yeah, he wouldn't be able to go back, and he sure wanted to tell them, don't straighten your act up. So, and you know, there's a good chance, not to bring up anything bad, but I know there's probably people in here that had loved ones that did not ever obey the gospel, and everything we know, they're not in a good place, most likely. But if we could contact them now, they would say, keep doing what you're doing. You don't want to be here with me. Okay? And I think that's part of that story kind of tells us that part too. Especially when you're talking to someone and they're not going to obey the gospel because their parents never went to church. Why should I go to church? They've gone to heaven. They were good people, you know. That's kind of tough to really sit and visit somebody like that. But that's where you get your points in a little bit, okay? Think about that. Good choices will do what? What are good choices going to do? They're going to increase your what? Your influence, yes, definitely. You're going to increase your influence. You're making bad choices, it's going to have a reflection on you in a badly way. Okay? I'll do a flashback. Going through high school, it was back in those 60s, Vietnam's going on, all that stuff, born of the hippies, all that stuff going on. Some of you probably can relate to some of that. I saw a picture of someone here a while back from way back that definitely had the hippie haircut going and all that stuff. And what I'm getting at is during that time period, there's a lot of things happening, not for the influence of good. One of my buddies, oh, he was always doing something at school, getting in trouble. He pushed the limits, okay? Because we had to have our hair cut an inch above the ear, not touching the collar, all those type of things for us guys. Wear a belt, all that stuff. There's none of this, your pants drug down at your knees and your undies showed. That wasn't going to fly. You got sent home. Then you had to deal with your parents. What was all that building? Hopefully some influence and character. My buddy and I, we talked, and I said, man, once you let it go, why do you keep pushing the envelope? Well, they shouldn't be allowing us to, we have to cut our hair. You know, because he let it grow and try to comb it back so it be off his ears and all this stuff. And of course, the wind blowing, he saw his off way too long. And here I go, and most of the time I had my hair cut pretty short. So they came down really hard on us with doing the haircut stuff more, and sent out this ultimatum that they was going to be checking all the boys on Monday. So, dummy me, I called some buddies and said, well, why don't we just all get our hair just buzzed? I'll walk in with Buzz, you know, with that little short, you know, almost like he bald. Not quite like Jose would be. But the Jose's home not feeling good, so I'm sure I'll pick on him. And so Monday morning on the school steps of the high school, about 30 of us showed up. Skinheads, I guess they'd call them. That was before we knew what that was back then. Oh, guess who got called down to the principal's office? Me. My name gets called. Just because some of these guys, when they got approached, it's a rumor. And the principal, he was so upset because we'd done that. And I asked a simple question. I said, sir, are we compliant with the haircuts? He said, go back to class. Huh? Because we were, you know. So just little simple things like that. But it was an influence on that whole situation, whether it's good or bad. But there's so many times that we get ourselves in trouble with our influence in certain ways. I'm gonna get on a pet peeve. We don't have long here, 2 minutes. Real quick. Clothing. Does clothing have an influence? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But so many in our world now, and our young people growing up, have no concept about clothing and influence. If you're going to go in for a good job interview, you're going to do what? Hopefully be presentable. Wash your hair, comb it, put on a nice shirt, nice, you know, pants, etc. Because you want to have an influence. Because what? First impressions go a long ways. And it does for us in church too. If somebody walked in the doors and people were here dressed very casual, what's the message sent to that person? Could be that, oh, they don't really care about how they look before God. I've had people come in, and I know when I'm thinking of mine right off, that is going to a church now because they will advertise, we don't care how your dress come on. Okay? Because she only wears blue jeans and usually some type of pullover shirt. Okay? And she didn't want to ever have to go to a church where she'd have to put on a dress or dress slacks to look presentable. Okay? You follow me where I'm going? So influence goes a long ways on things. Now, that same lady's made a comment about some of the younger ones, how short some of their shorts are too. And she thinks that's pushing the limit, but yet the other's okay. But it's the same old thing. You open the barn door, you can't close it again because all the animals are going to be running through it. Okay? I know. Same way. Yes. Every once in a while she shows up in the office, they've been starched pretty good. So, and that's the thing. Some people will will put a suit, guys will put a suit on to go to a funeral or a wedding, but they won't wear one to church, okay? And we're in the presence of who when we come to church? Just a little thing for me, just a little food for thought this evening. Thank y'all. We'll start gear it up for something a little different next week. So good to see y'all and everything. Thanks.